Nice. And according to the computer, we're live! Yay, Friday Night Field! Woo! Sweet Jesus, I always say a little prayer. I'm like, please, dear God, just work, because I don't know why. I'm just kind of cursed with odd technical issues. So welcome to Friday Night Feels. I'm licensed mental health counselor Patrick Manette. Sorry, it's been a long week, folks, so giddy up. It's going to be a ride. Filter free. For those of you who might be joining or listening, because now Friday Night Feels is a podcast, which I'm super excited about. You know, I started this about a year ago, actually, so I have to find the right date. I think I started in April, so we'll have to have an anniversary show. And it just started something that I wanted to do when COVID really took over, as a way to network and connect with other people, not just in the mental health field, but just with different experiences and professions. And, you know, I've just been so humbled and honored to meet amazing people in the last year. And tonight I am so excited to be with Jared Deal from California.
That's right. What's up, Jared, man?
Hey, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
So, and as you can see, I'm representing the cheerful, magical side of the East Coast with my rainbow and pot of gold, you know, to represent the Irish.
I actually live in Los Angeles, but my backdrop looks like I'm from San Francisco. I just don't know why I chose that, but.
It's beautiful.
It is, man. Yeah. I have been to the Golden Gate Bridge a few times, and it's.
Do you know I've never been to California?
Dude. You need to come visit, man. You got to see the beaches. And I have been to New York a couple times, so.
I hear it's amazing. It's on my list.
Yeah. Oh, man. Everybody needs to probably come at least once in their life to Disneyland and probably the beaches, you know? So.
Yeah, that would be so much fun. Well, I'll definitely have it on my list now. So I had the honor and privilege of being on Jared's amazing podcast called Louder Now. So if you haven't checked it out, which some of you may not have because I'm just sharing it with you, but it's a real thing. No worries. And, you know, we actually met in a Facebook group. You know, that's how I think a lot of, you know, it's kind of like social dating at this point. It's like we're in different groups. It's like, hey, man, what's up? Hey, what's up? Like, oh, you have social a podcast? I have a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's totally fun. And you know what, I was great going on the show, and I said you got to come on Friday Night Feels because your story is pretty amazing. And you know, he is trying to revolutionize, he's not trying, he is, in my opinion, of revolutionizing the education about mental health. And so I'm so honored that you're here to tell us your story and to share with all the amazing thing that you're doing. You know, we have really similar personalities. We were just talking before we started of, you know, the use of humor. And I was catching one of his recordings after a long day, and I just couldn't stop laughing. So I really appreciate that. Because it was just a recording. Yeah. I don't know if you want to tell them a little bit about it, but it was just like...
Oh, yeah. So I was just having fun with one of my friends. I work for like a marketing company, really close with the guys I work with. We're all really brothers. Mostly a male company. These days I just pick people up from the airport. So I recorded myself kind of talking with my buddy, because before I started recording, he was giving me a hard time because I kept kind of interrupting him after about like two sentences of like, hey man, what's going on in your life? And he would talk for like 10 seconds. And then I'd be like, well, anyway, yeah, I mean, I've been working on my podcast and, you know, I'm working on my thing. And so I just decided to film a little reenactment of how we talk in real life. And so, and I put in the video, this is supposed to be funny,
yeah, which I guess
maybe
that.
I could have left that part out and the video just speak for itself. And I haven't really posted very much video stuff on Instagram. I just thought it'd be funny to mix it up. So I'm glad you thought it was
yeah, I enjoyed it. And you know, if you're new to Instagram too, you know, you can, it's Louder Now, but you can also go to my Instagram and you're able to see who I'm following and, you know, catch up. It's a really great show, and you know, listening to the podcast, and I think it brings to light, you know, kind of what we connected about mental health. And I was just kind of wondering if you could tell us a little bit about Louder Now and how it started and what inspired you to create such an amazing podcast.
Yeah, that's a great question. I guess the summary. I guess a little bit of the backstory of my own mental health struggles. Diagnosed in 2007 with bipolar, kind of started out as having lots of panic attacks and anxiety, kind of was pursuing religion in a really extreme way, which is still something that means a lot to me, but I was young at the time and I was staying up all night. So physiologically, it wasn't like taking good care of myself, kind of launched me into bipolar, although kind of in my family, bipolar is genetic on my dad's side. Okay. 2007 and then 2008, I had a couple episodes, then I managed to be kind of okay for like 4 years, ended up being kind of over-medicated, long story short, then that led me to getting off of all of my meds, which no one should ever do. If you're ever on psych meds, you should never take yourself off or really even try to do anything with meds on your own. There's definitely always consequences. So I really learned the hard way. I entered into like a third episode when I was 27. But the third time around, it was just way more intense. And the third time around, I was really suicidal. So I had experienced like a little bit of that in those earlier episodes, but not, you know, I entered into something that was just, you know, the darkest time of my life kind of thing. So it was really hard. I was in Kansas City. Then I moved to California to be with my mom. And I ended up having a couple of suicide attempts. And then it was really like an 8-month episode. And at the end of the 8-month time, I tried to overdose with like all of the pills that I had, tried to die. Luckily, I mean, I do believe in God. Mm-hmm. Well, whatever you believe in, a death was not a part of that was not the end for me. So I survived. I was in a coma for 3 days, which was really scary, obviously, you never know. I came out of it. I had all my memory intact. I remembered what happened. That really set me on a journey of really getting a lot of help. That I spent 5 months in the hospital after that. And then a couple years, that was 2013. So 5 years later, I guess, is when the podcast started. But what I had kind of done before that was speaking, like working with the National Alliance of Mental Illness, speaking about my story. Before that, I worked with a local clinic that I go to, getting to share my story, which really is one of my favorite things to do. I love getting to talk and inspire people. So it was kind of like having a podcast similar, where you get to talk to people, you get to answer questions. Made a couple of videos about it. And then my roommate one day was like, we had been talking about it and he had a podcast and he was like, hey man, let's just record something. So I didn't really actually even know that he meant me talk and do a podcast, you know. We just went,
I'm so shy.
It was funny. I was a little confused. So this is a couple years ago, and we just had two microphones and we're in his room, and he kind of just acted as like a co-host with me. And he's like, hey man, what's your story? What do you want this to be about? And I was like, mental health, man. I mean, my experience. So I kind of, the first episode, now listening back, I'm like, oh man, kind of a rough cut, you know, when you listen to your early stuff, you're like,
yeah,
oh gosh, wow, that's actually what I sounded like, shoot, you know. So but after a while, we just we got really comfortable, and then I kind of broke away from using him as kind of a co-host, and it's kind of been a little bit of a solo adventure. And then more recently, I have kind of branched into you know, obviously some of these Facebook groups and meeting people and interviewing people. So that's kind of a little bit of a long answer to your question, but really my goal is just to, I do try to incorporate my own religious experience into it, because I do think that that's important for people to understand that God and religion and spirituality can influence your mental health. Mm-hmm. I don't limit it to that, because I know everybody's in a different place. So I really respect everybody's journey. And I really try to just talk to people from all walks of life mm-hmm. who have experiences. And then also just being a man and mm-hmm. realizing that it's depression does obviously look different from men and women, but you know, as a man, I think it's important to be like, hey man, I struggle. I've struggled. I've felt totally like a failure before. And you know, all the thoughts and stuff that go with what depression can bring. And I try to, I guess, talk about all of it, even though I have more, I guess I'm more bipolar and depression than anxiety is kind of my thing mm-hmm. and suicide. Yeah, it's been an adventure. I feel like I'm kind of just getting started. And then, you know, obviously COVID was a little bit of a setback, I think.
Right.
So that's a little bit kind of about me with that. So.
Right. And I think, you know, that's one thing we talked about before we started tonight was the importance of men talking about their mental health issues. And, you know, as a male therapist, I really, you know, I'm glad when anyone talks about their stories. I can just say, like, working with men over the years, the more we normalize it, because men tend to be, you know, the higher risk for suicidality and, you know, suicidal right. thoughts and, you know, a higher risk in that area. You know, if we can normalize it a little bit more, and that you're not alone, and it's not such a personal defect at all. And I think that's what a lot of us grow up with, is you got to be tough, you got to be strong enough, you got to, you know, just put your mind to it. And that's doesn't make any sense when you're dealing with something, you know, like bipolar, which is, you know, biochemical.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think it's definitely a lot more common now. I think also for people to be younger and to be dealing with these things too in their teens and even in early childhood. And it's also common, I think, in my story of like, you're in college and you're 22 and you're 23 and you're really trying to figure your life out. And, but yeah, I think when you suppress things or push things aside, and maybe not deal with trauma or pain or things in your life. And it does kind of seem like it catches up with you. And I think as men, we just naturally have this tendency, though it's really bad, to like, mm-hmm. just try to just work and like be a man that way and kind of be tough that way. And our identity kind of gets wrapped up in like what we do and being a provider. And then there's this whole other kind of thing to us, which is our emotions and how we feel. And it's okay to cry, it's okay to be sad, it's okay to, you know, all that stuff. So
yeah, and I think a lot of times, you know, especially with certain situations I've had where men think having emotions mean that you have to be crying all the time, but right. it just means it's like that, you know, or, you know, it's like, well, if you want to, sure. Or if that's what, how you express it, fine. But it doesn't mean that you have to not be you. I think they right. think it's like, you have to choose, like, I can either be me, which I want to be this way, or I have to be this emotional sap on the floor. It's like, it really isn't that black and white, guys. Like it's really,
yeah.
It's not, it's like, you know, normalizing that emotions are part of us, just like our hand or our eyes and, you know, or, you know, any of our other senses. Like, it helps us to feel fulfilled, to feel happy, to feel sad, to empathize with people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think too, the observation is like, when you think about being in a relationship with someone, like successful relationships that are healthy, it's very much based on being able to express yourself rightly mm-hmm. and show how you feel. I'm not married, so don't have all the answers, but I'm a single guy, but in the relationships that I've had, it's like, I do think men in general, we can struggle with that. Like, even in relationships where there's a lack of like vulnerability and people kind of need that from us to be brave and vulnerable. So I think that's required to have like successful relationships. And it's mm-hmm. definitely required when it comes to this big mental illness, mental health.
Yeah. Especially what you were saying too, of that it's genetic. So this is, you know, talk about right. normalizing it. you know, parents wouldn't hide diabetes or high blood pressure or cholesterol related issues. But when it comes to the term mental health, it's all, ooh, you know, we don't want to talk about that. Or, and I don't know what your experiences were like with your family. Would you mind talking a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I really love both of my parents. I kind of had mentioned briefly, my dad and I did not have the best relationship. My dad was definitely diagnosed bipolar, but never saw a doctor. Mm-hmm. He really was really angry a lot, yelled a lot, was really verbally abusive to both myself and my sister, and obviously my mom. But then my mom, on the other hand, was like the most loving, nurturing, caring, my biggest fan kind of mom. I mean, I think pretty much all moms are great, right? You know, so I did kind of have this bipolar childhood of my mom also traveled as a flight attendant. So she was kind of gone a lot. So she left, she came home, and then my dad just kind of yelled a lot. So I do think I learned how to kind of suppress my emotions a lot, because I was sort of afraid a lot of really, I think, expressing myself, a lot of it due to my dad just getting mad a lot, you know. And I was tough in some ways. I played ice hockey, I was a hockey player, I got the crap kicked out of me, and I, like, you know, and it was awesome, it was fun, but right. I recognized that I was pretty sensitive too. So I think in a lot of ways, to try to answer the question, like, my parents were really supportive of me kind of just doing whatever it is that I was passionate about. And then on the other hand, there did seem to be a message of, you know, don't screw up or you're kind of gonna get yelled at. So I think as a man, I mean, it's definitely seems to be a common theme of, like, men and our fathers, we can have these damaged relationships with our dads. And I do think that does, I don't think it causes mental illness, but I do think it's
effective.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a form of trauma, a little bit of, like, you know, getting yelled at was, you know, did do something to me psychologically that I think now in my adult life of not really being around my dad anymore, I still have to kind of work through some of that stuff. But my mom has been my biggest, I mean, and my sister, and probably my sister's husband, definitely top three people who have been with me through doctors and hospitals and the whole entire story.
You know, and that must be a really hard part too, because you're going through your own personal hell of this, of, you know, really fighting for your life, and they may not know what to do.
Yeah,
well, or may not have known what to do, you know, especially 2007. I mean, it was a different world there, different time for mental health treatment.
Yeah, I do think, I mean, really, honestly, it took about 6 or 7 years. I kind of told the real long story short at the beginning, like, it's like got to, and it's hard to, like, sum everything up, I guess, because there's, like, so much. when I got to that, in the earlier years, I don't think anybody, even in my family, though we kind of knew about my dad and that was a reality, nobody was really like, oh, you're bipolar and like, let's get you all the help that you need to get. I think there was a lot of denial in within me, for sure. And then even with my mom, kind of weaned me off of meds in the beginning, because she was like, oh, you look fat and you're gaining weight. So she kind of just weaned me off of it, and then I kind of just snapped out of it. And then obviously that was the only time she did that. Then the second time around, I was like, oh, I think you need help. But it really took me, unfortunately, look, everybody's journey is different, and I do think your family and the people that you're closest to definitely shape how you accept things, even though acceptance really is something that you have to kind of fully do on your own, you know? But yeah, it did take a while to, I think, that third time around of, like, almost dying by suicide, to really be like, man, this is, like, we need to get you all the help that you can get. And then I was accepting of it too, of, like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to need meds for a long time, mm-hmm. and therapy, and a lot of understanding and compassion on all of this whole entire world of, you know, bipolar and depression and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So
just like they may have needed that too, you know, maybe that was that, you know, that support of helping, of working through their own stuff too, of being able to know how that affected them and how they can be there for you. And I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, you mentioned NAMI, National Alliance of Mental Illness, which I think is such an amazing organization.
Thank you.
You know, because they're not just there for the individual, but for the family, for loved ones, for significant others.
Yeah, it's been a real incredible journey. The last few years, I've gotten to work with NAMI, doing a couple of different programs. One's called In Our Own Voice, another one's called Ending the Silence. And a lot of the events I've gotten to do with them, we get to speak to like the family-to-family class, which is obviously parents and people who are, their kids are going through it, their loved ones are going through it. And it's probably one of my favorite events to get to do, because there's always just really good questions in there of like, so what did your family do when you went through this? Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you can recommend? And it always challenges me, I think, and humbles me, because I'm like, not everybody has supportive parents, you know, and not everybody has a whole family, you know, not everybody. And I do believe if you can just find one person to really, really be close to you in the struggle, that is kind of all you need. Like if you can have, maybe it's not both your parents, but if you can have one parent, I do think that person for me has always been my mom,
right,
for sure, you know.
So. Well, shout out to your mom. Hi, mom.
Yeah, hi, mom. She's
from New York.
She's probably not watching this right now, but probably should be careful what I say. So,
well, once it's online, you can't take it back. No backsies, yeah, no returns.
I mean, really, just without hesitation, I'm always just so grateful. Because it's not just my mom. It has been lots of people.
Right.
But as a parent, that relationship, that connection, my mom, man, she was like always at all the doctor's appointments with me.
Wow,
she was like taking notes, writing things down. Like she kept track of my life, you know, better than me. And I just am forever grateful over the years that she still to this day is like that, you know, is always really supportive. So I'm really blessed that I've had that.
And that is amazing, because, you know, and a blessing, because I've worked with so many people who don't have their parents, or their parents, unfortunately, are part of the mental health issue or the abuse or the neglect or addiction. Right. So, you know, having organizations like NAMI is amazing because they have so many programs and advocates and educational resources of when people are really in need, you know, we need to connect them to compassionate, kind people who will help them find a voice.
I have such a shout out to NAMI if they're watching. I've had a lot of people on my Louder Now podcast that I've done presentations with, and just some amazing people, friends, support. I've used NAMI as a resource over the years for myself, and I just have such mad respect for what they're doing. Like it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
So if anyone ever needs that help, NAMI, I think they have chapters all over. But even like if you just go to their website, and I'm sure they have all the social media.
They do, yeah. If you go to NAMI.org, and they have, you can look things up, I think, based off your city. So wherever you live in the United States, I'm pretty sure in every major city, they have an affiliate, a group. So, you know, I don't think they're everywhere, but there are a lot of places. So you can try to find support. Hopefully it's close to you. You know, right. I depends on where you live. So
that's wonderful. So, you know, I wanted to jump back to something you shared about a little bit about your belief system and your faith, how that's a big part of who you are and your mental health journey and recovery. Could you share a little bit more about that? And,
yeah,
you know,
of course. Yeah, it's a great question. Well, I grew up pretty Christian, and in church all the time. And I really loved it, really sincerely felt like I had a relationship with God since I was a little kid. So definitely heavily influenced by being Christian. Obviously, within saying that, there's many different denominations and different kind of, you know, churches and way of thinking that vary. But yeah, for me, I think it's just always been a perspective of like, you know, God is love. God loves me. God has a plan for my life. I get my influence of how I live really from the Bible. That's kind of the code of conduct, shall you say, of my life. Mm-hmm. So I think when I started dealing with depression and just anxiety and kind of a chaos in my mind, I think it was, it's common for, I think, most people in the faith to sort of default to like, you know, where is God in all of this? Mm-hmm. Like, where is God in my crisis? Mm-hmm. Which is a pretty normal question to ask, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, where is God when you don't always ask it if your life is going okay.
Or know? Give thanks, you know, yeah, when it's going, I mean, it's like, oh yeah, of course it's going well. And then when shit hits the fan, you're like, excuse me.
Exactly. And I guess I want to say to be kind of universal here, like any religion, probably you would do that, right? Whatever, whoever you follow, whatever, you're probably going to ask like, where is the God that I serve in my story here? So I think at the beginning, it felt pretty common for people around me to just be like, oh, well, this really has nothing to do with biology or science or just your body being broken. Mm-hmm. and whatever, this is kind of a spiritual problem, and so the way that this spiritual problem gets solved is through God and through prayer or through other Christians helping you, not really through medication or science or just kind of practical, like, are you eating right and do you sleep? So that's been a huge part of my journey, is recognizing, at least when I look back at the earlier years, being like, well, I do believe God was a part of, you know, knew what was going on. I do believe he's in control and, like, you know, still has a plan for me. But I think what I'm dealing with is not some kind of spiritual attack from the devil, mm-hmm. or demonic, or needs to neglect this whole other kind of narrative of like, you might need medication and that's okay. Mm-hmm. So it took a while to like kind of reconcile those two ideas, mm-hmm. together. And I think once I almost died in 2013, mm-hmm. survived a coma and mm-hmm. like came out of that,
right,
I had a lot of I had a lot of time. I was in the hospital for 5 months recovering. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of time of just reading and thinking and journaling with pencil, which was an adventure, journaling with pencil. You know how it is in the hospital. Well, like, can I get a pen in here? Can I get a pen?
You know, it's the small things, guys. Come on.
We don't want you to stab someone. So,
you know, safety first.
You just used the resources that you had in front of you. Anyway, that's just a hospital joke. If you've ever been in the hospital, it's like, you can't wear a belt. You can't have shoelaces. You know, anyway. But I don't know if that kind of answers the question a little bit. Like, and I do, whoever's listening, I mean, I hope it's lots of people. And if you're a person of faith, I hope you can have a holistic approach to your spirituality, and also to like, we're broken people. We live in a broken world. How we eat and how we sleep is just as important as the spiritual parts of our journey, of how the spiritual disciplines,
right.
If I could say it that way, if that makes sense. Like,
And I know that, you know, I've worked with a lot of people who have had a lot of abuse in different religions and different, you know, right. And so like, or, you know, may not believe in something, but I think, you know, for those people too, it's about maybe just having faith in yourself. It's that love for yourself, like you're saying, of I'm going to eat nutritious food or rest or reach out for help. You know, that's part, for me, that's part of spirituality, because if I'm here, I'm alive. You know, we're a system, right? And being able to reach out so that I can be healthy because we deserve it.
Yeah, there is a lot of a need, because I do think a huge message of the gospel is love, right? It's like God is love. God's love is expressed through Jesus. And man, if we're just living this like unhealthy life and controlled by addictions or man, we can be really hard on ourselves too. We can have a really, really negative narrative of our own existence. And so there can be a lot of guilt and shame within your walk with God even, which kind of feels like that doesn't make much sense either. It's like, we're not supposed to live having this just heavy negative view of ourselves, right? Like we have so much value and purpose and worth. But it's, you have to go on that journey too. I mean, I do think that seems to be a thing in culture nowadays, of like a lot of talk on self-love, and maybe some of it's like bombards us too much with that, or like, oh, I don't, you know what I mean? I mean, you would probably know better than me because you're job is being a therapist. But yeah, you're totally right. I mean, it's a huge important piece of the puzzle of like, yeah, I need to really learn how to take care of myself. I think that's what God would want. And you know, if you don't believe in God, that like you said, having faith in yourself to like you know, and it branches off into other things of like, what's your purpose in life, and do you feel like you have meaningful relationships with people? That stuff also I would mix in with that same kind of conversation too, you know?
And it's interesting because a lot of times people will ask, you know, well, how do you have hope in those dark moments? Like what, you know, whether it's addiction or, you know, a psychotic break or something, changing your medicine. Yeah. And I just remember once when I was younger, I was in the ocean, you know, you're swimming and stuff. And, the undertow got a hold of me. And I remember all that I could hold on to was like this little seaweed, right? But it was the strongest thing that kept me from going out to sea. And I just thought, even in the storm, and then I stood up and it happened so fast. No one knew I almost just died. It was a little dramatic in the ocean. But like, you're a kid, you're like, oh my God, I almost died. But that just, you know, that's how I look at faith or hope of, it's not like, like you were saying, it's in when those tidal waves come, it's just that it's this small but strong root that is just going to ground us. And whatever we need to hold on to, whether it's belief of ourselves or a loved one or being there for someone else, whatever it might be, sometimes that's what just gets us through the darkest days.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I made a video a couple of years ago. It's like a 20-minute long video. So I guess I can promote that later.
Anyway, don't worry, I got it planned.
Yeah, it's all good. But
talking to someone who's on the TikTok, I'm on all the platforms.
Yeah, sorry guys, I only have 3 really lame videos of myself on TikTok. So
TikTok, 60 seconds, man.
I can't even do the floss dance right, so why should I even try?
Oh, do cooking videos. I can't.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
Therapeutic cooking.
Gordon Ramsay to come on and do what he does, where he like watches other people cook, you know? I totally forgot what we were just talking about.
You were talking about the video you made?
I made a video where I told my story. It's like 20 minutes long, and kind of just all of the stuff leading up to like suicide and all that. And I had said kind of at the end, I was like, you know, it's really not about faith in God. It's just about having faith in something and holding on to something when you're feeling completely overwhelmed and you're in that realm of darkness where your mind is. I think it's like one of the scariest things to feel is when you don't feel like you're in control.
Yes.
And I think that's a huge part of mental illness. It's like, this anxiety is controlling me, this panic is controlling me, this depression's controlling me. And that, you know, we can only take so much pain in those moments. Mm-hmm. And so often the suicidal thoughts that people can have is it's never about wanting to die. It's just
escaping pain.
The pain, you know? And so I had a lot of things around me, or I feel like I've had in my life so many different things to hold on to over the years of like, wow, I have a family and people love me. But I have so much compassion for people struggling because I've been there too, where I'm like, it can be really hard to find something to hold on to, mm-hmm. but it's super important to kind of like your story, right? You just, you're like, this is the only thing keeping me from really completely sinking.
Right.
I do believe everybody can find something in that. I do think we are stronger than we realize.
Right.
We're always a lot stronger than we realize, and just maybe we haven't been completely tested yet in that, you know. So,
and yeah. I, you know, as we're kind of talking about like redefining, you know, all these different components, I think we have to redefine what being strong is. It's not being this aggressive, like I can rip your head off. It's, hey, I know who I am and I know what I'm worth and I know that I deserve love. It can be that's power to me. You know, that strength of knowing I'm worth more.
Yeah, the self-worth aspect of all of this is like probably at the top of the list mm-hmm. of things to really pursue and go after in terms of like, I think if you're convinced that you are worthless, which is such a horrible thought to have, because mm-hmm. oftentimes we're the ones telling ourselves all of this garbage, and usually other people aren't really the source of that, although like you said, a lot of people you talk to have been abused. So yes, and to some extent, my dad was kind of a source of negativity and he kind of put me down in a lot of ways when I was younger. But then I got the opposite message of like, you're awesome and you're wonderful.
Right,
You're funny.
What a conflict.
You're hilarious and you could be an actor, you know, and all these things. And so, but it's really important to, and I do think that this is why doing therapy helps us, like talking to professionals who have the education and the experience to get into those thoughts that are, you know, negative or repetitive, that kind of just feel like they get like a life of their own if it goes kind of unchecked, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, once you start learning to value yourself, you can kind of separate that some of the depression and the anxiety or whatever it is kind of just, it's false. It's like not you, you know, it's just, yeah.
And you know, what's interesting is one thing that I find, you know, when I'm talking to different colleagues is when they have people that are struggling or whatnot, I always ask them, what's the relationship with anger? And it's really interesting because we think, you know, if someone's depressed or they have anxiety or, you know, struggling with something, you know, I always want to know where anger is, because we don't normalize it. We don't get it out of saying, hey, I'm really pissed off that I'm struggling with this, and getting validation that, hey, it's okay to be angry, and talk about with religion or, you know, beliefs or spirituality of being able to say, hey, God, I'm pretty pissed right now.
Right.
And I remember one time I was struggling with my own journey and different things. And someone said, well, if you believe in God and you believe that God is a parent, you know, unconditional love, that means God's strong enough for your anger. And it, you know, I never even conceptualized or thought of like, wait a minute, I can get angry at God. And so I did. and then I like burst into tears because it was just the pain just like burst, like I didn't need it anymore. I was able just to get mad of like it and be free of, and it didn't make everything better, but I didn't have to carry that weight of resentment of, it's okay that this sucks, it's okay that I'm angry, it's okay that I'm in pain, because I don't want to be. And then just like you're saying in your journey, everyone has to figure out what treatment or what plan or what recovery they need to get them on the path where they aren't in such pain?
Yeah, that's a really, really pretty profound insight what that person shared with you of like, because I do think even within Christianity and faith, there's like a fear of being mm-hmm. your true self. You know, right. It's like you feel like you have to put on this religious hat and act perfection. Like you're happy all the time and tell people bless God all the time when you're just like, I don't bless God all day, every day. Like, what are you talking about? You know? And right. and I do appreciate like the spiritual community I'm a part of. Shout out to Humanity Church in Pomona. But I feel like I'm around just such genuine people mm-hmm. who are like not judgmental about anything, right? I've openly right. shared in the church many times my story to people. And I always just feel like very accepted, you know, in my struggle. And that's probably not everybody's church experience. Mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. so I do think within, like when you're talking about these things like anger, I do think it does go back to childhood. Not that we should always keep looking back. I mean, I think we should only look back to get healed and mm-hmm. move past things and work through things. But some of it for people does seem like it comes from like the environment that they're raised in, where if you never felt like you could say what you really think mm-hmm. and say,
or if it wasn't safe.
Yeah. Then you feel kind of judged for the vulnerability. You right. feel, you kind of feel rejection is probably more the accurate word. Right. No one wants to feel that rejection of like, oh, if I speak up and I'm honest, everyone's going to be like, oh, you're too much or you're extra, you know, yeah, whatever we want to say, canceled.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? And, right. and oftentimes, I mean, we could probably talk about that for a long time of like, wow, it's not until, you know, maybe life catches up with you when you're older that you're like, oh, I realize I'm just kind of a little bit unhappy in a lot of my relationships with people because I feel like I don't really know how to like really be my true self. Mm-hmm. Always kind of pretending and striving.
Wearing
and
that mask.
That gets really lonely. And I think a part of this depression and mental illness can be kind of a like suppression of that. You know, what you're saying is like, you got to be able to like, say you're mad or say you're sad mm-hmm. and kind of deal with it in the moment a little bit and learn healthy ways to obviously not then lash out on other people because you're, you know, it's just all bottled up inside of you.
Right. And which becomes poisonous, right? And then it bleeds into everything that you do because you're just you're like septic.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, you have mentioned a couple of things that I wanted to go back to of some projects that you're working on.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, unless you're too shy to share some of the awesome things, like, you know, hit me up. Like, what are you working on these days?
Well, thanks for asking, man. I don't think shy and then hosting a podcast goes together. Though sometimes I do see on some of these Facebook groups where people are like, I'm an introvert in real life. And but I love to just be behind the mic. You know? I do take pride in wanting to help people with mental health. So I guess the first thing is recently I got to work with listenable.com and okay. it's basically like a audio kind of like an Audible website for like various courses that are all kind of little short audio bites. So they found my podcast and were like, hey, would you be interested in doing something on mental health? And I'm like, yeah, that's
wow.
So yeah, I got to do a course. It's called How to Cope with Depression. And I think it's like 30 minutes long total.
So can anyone get this?
Yeah, you do have to like get a pay for it. It's you pay to get a subscription, have like access to all the classes.
Okay.
But it's fairly cheap. I think it's like $7 a month or something like that.
Wow, what a great resource.
And I think you can do like a 7-day trial. So that's been cool. That's kind of happened recently. That's in the last couple of months. And then, I'm just continuing to work on the podcast, lots of interviews with people. I've been, obviously you're going to be on it soon because we already did our recording. So that should be cool.
so stay tuned, people. Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. Yeah. And then I've been thinking about wanting to write a book on my specific mental health journey.
Okay.
Faith, you know, God, bipolar, just kind of my life, you know, memoir style kind of writing. So I signed up for like a write a book in a month challenge.
Ooh, I've seen those. Yeah, those look awesome.
Some of them are, luckily this one wasn't, it was like $100 to do it. So that's how I know it's probably like a little bit more legit, because some of them, I mean, you know, use wisdom, I guess, because sometimes I have seen some of them advertised as like $3,000, you know, or whatever. And you're like, that's kind of crazy. I don't.
We're in a pandemic, people. Get it together.
I mean, I just got my stimulus, but I'm not going to be spending it on that. So, so yeah, I actually was a guest on someone's podcast back in like January, and they were like, hey, let me send you the link to this guy. It's 30 days. So it's going okay. It's been a challenge, I think, because writing, I think I feel like I've always enjoyed writing. It's always been therapeutic. I've always been a journaler. I've had a blog for a lot of years. It's mostly been poetry and stuff, which kind of came out of actually dealing with bipolar. I started writing poems after I was having panic attacks. So that was kind of, I guess that's another thing too. That's cool. I don't feel like I do it as much as I used to, but anyway, yeah, I've been working on a book. So that those are, you know, those are kind of the main ones. And then, you know, I'd hope someday to maybe do more video related things and make some more. The video I was talking about is called The Beginning Again, and it's just on my YouTube channel for Jared Deal. And then I have a Louder Now YouTube, but I need to kind of update it and go in and fix it. So
and this is something I'd like to ask, is if people really aren't on social media, can they still contact, like, how do they find Louder Now? Is that only on Instagram?
Well, I mean, I guess I have a Twitter, I have a Facebook page, I have an Instagram. So I guess I'm not really, I'm working on getting like a website right now. Okay.
But the podcast wouldn't be through those, right? Because they're
no, the podcast is on Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, kind of the main platforms you can find the Louder Now. Just type in Louder Now and then like Jared Deal and it should show up. You'll see I got like the green. So yeah, I guess, does that answer the question? Yeah, that's perfectly. How you can find it without any social media, just Apple. I think Apple has my old logo. Need to fix that too. But
I mean, you got things to do. You're a busy guy.
I know. Now I'm like thinking out loud. I'm like, that's so much stuff to fix.
You basically need a secretary or an assistant, I should say. You need an assistant.
do you have an assistant for your podcast?
I do not.
Oh, okay. Well, no. It's not a bad idea. I see these kind of, there's like a bombardment of information with all these Facebook groups.
Can we just talk about the podcast world for a minute? I mean, this isn't really about, but it's like some people like go a little bit into it. Like it's a little intense. Like,
yeah.
They're selling their children to like get this podcast going. I'm like, you know, I think I have like a pair of headphones when I got my cell phone. I'm so low.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I guess what's interesting to me, I mean, this is really more of a testament to like whenever there's trends and then everyone starts doing it, you know, because podcasting's actually been around
for a long time, since
the early 2000s, maybe even, I don't know, like there's some people who got in the game really, really, like when I was in high school, you know, and now it's just now in the last few years, it's, you know, guys like Gary Vaynerchuk, who's a big marketing guy, is like, start a podcast for your business. Like, that's how you'll get people, you know, push out episodes every day, you know? And so, yeah, there's all these different levels, but look, at the end of the day, money is what makes the world go around, you know?
Yeah.
So if you can build a big enough audience and, you know, get the advertisements, like, yeah, you'll might maybe take the chance of paying someone, you know, $50 an hour to like edit all your episodes or whatever.
But, you know, but I think this is what I was surprised. So I started doing Friday Night Feels a year ago, and it was just the videos. And then, you know, I just kind of like piecemeals it together of like, all right, hey, I'll create a YouTube for people who don't, you know, so it's easy to watch. And then someone, a colleague of mine, had sent me an article about you should put your Friday Night Feels in a podcast. I'm like, I don't want to do that. So I just like delete it to email. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I don't even know what happened. Like someone, I just wasn't feeling it. And then someone suggested it again. And like within 24 hours, I was like, yep. Like I was waiting for the spirit to move me. So now I have a podcast and it's like,
Yeah, I was reading, there was this recent thing on like Netflix taking some of their content and like turning it into just audio files and like audio, like almost like a podcast form of like shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they're just, it's like they already are ruling the world with streaming.
Right.
So let's make it, because it's a lot easier, obviously, to just listen when you're driving, mm-hmm. when you're doing laundry, when you're working out, than it is even sometimes to sit and watch something.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a no-brainer. It's like if you have any kind of video content, you should, you know, do a podcast or just do a podcast, obviously. So,
right.
But yeah, it's been fun, man. I mean, it definitely is work, obviously, trying to think through like how to communicate the best. But I'm always, I don't know what your experience has been with like getting feedback from people. Obviously you were saying people write in questions when you're live. Which, by the way,
some people are saying amazing analogies, true.
Awesome.
So they're enjoying the conversation. And we're getting hearts.
Okay. Lots of hearts. So,
I mean, yeah. Cool. I'll take hearts. Well,
love all you people who are watching this. I probably don't know any of you, but that's okay.
So, oh, someone's saying, I just got all of these messages. So thank you for sharing your story with us. someone else is saying, you know, write the book, septic. That's a good word for it. Someone else is saying, Catherine is saying, your strength and bravery in sharing your story will help so many to better understand their own pain.
That's awesome.
So your story is really moving people, at least tonight. And I know, you know, that's one of the things I wanted to go back to of what I have loved so far about doing this in podcasts is it's such an honor to meet such amazing people that I don't know if I would have met elsewhere. And even though there are some who might be a little more into it than I am, but just getting to hear people's stories and like having us connect and, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah. It is really like the power of community, I think, in our lives. This is why we need to be around people and connected to people, because it keeps us kind of humble, you know, to realize like, wow, I'm not the only one that went through this. It was really hard for me, and I don't want to minimize that it was hard. But then, you know, when I hear other people's journey, and sometimes I'm like, man, that person really had it bad, and like at least I've had my family and this person had no one,
right?
And look at, they're still ticking and they're still going and they're still moving forward, and I think we have to kind of create a culture of I think that's why we see people comment like, thanks for sharing your bravery, because mm-hmm. that vulnerability amongst peers and amongst people really, really gives people strength. And so that's why I'm like, say yes when someone's like, you want to be on my podcast? I'm like, I'd love to, because I don't know who's listening, and I want to really make an impact. I mean, I don't want to burn myself out, but I want to make an impact to people. And obviously if you're a person of faith and that stuff resonates with you, then obviously I get to connect with that audience too. But if you're a man and you're, you know, just so many people need to hear, like, look, I went through a hard time and I made it through, and here's the stuff that I've done to help me, and here's what I'm still doing. So it's really humbling, really, to really hear other people's stories.
And what's so nice, especially like about, you know, the podcast that we're talking about, is someone can listen to them in the privacy of their own. You know what I mean? Like it's the vulnerability, the risk isn't, it's like, you know, maybe they just need to hear someone else's story that they aren't alone. And then they that resiliency, and then they can just say, all right, if they can do it, you know, I can do it. I'm not alone. Even by pushing that button on that podcast can change your life.
Yeah. I had said something earlier where I was like, look, we're a lot stronger than we realize. But man, I remember in times where I've gone through hard stuff, for sure, I've listened to stories. I'm like, audiobooks, memoirs, who's struggled with depression and suicide, like get my hands on that stuff and kind of feed my soul with encouragement from other people, you know, and obviously that still get professional help, you know, and still reach out, don't just like listen to podcasts, but
all balance.
yeah. You know what I mean, like obviously, you know, you got to kind of work it from every angle, and
right,
yeah, it's awesome.
So as we wind down tonight, you know, I have one other question that I'd like you to share, if you know you can think about it, is being a mental health professional, I always look for how our field can do better.
Right.
So what is one thing, you know, for all of us that are just listening, that you would like us to walk away from with this discussion tonight?
Man, whew, that's a good question.
Giddy up. That's a free Friday.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's more than one thing.
Okay.
I always go back to like the empathy, compassion component. Mm-hmm. I always quote Brené Brown, which I think anyone these days knows who Brené Brown is.
Right. I pretend we're friends.
Yeah. She's got an excellent podcast. She's got a bunch of books. She's
on the Instagram.
She also has a Netflix special. Easier to watch stuff on Netflix.
And I think she has a TED Talk too. That's how she became so well known, I think.
Yeah, that's how she got like popular, I think. And she really, really dives deep into vulnerability and compassion, mm-hmm. and the need for like empathy and kind of the difference. You know, obviously empathy is like, you're not trying to fix people. So you're a mental health professional, so you are to some extent probing a little bit to like, give people real tangible tools, mm-hmm. to like help their life get better. But I think overall, just compassion for people's stories and people's experiences, trying to honor and respect everybody's background. It's obviously something that seems like our world needs that, you know, even beyond just mental health, with a lot of division, obviously politically, and just, you know, real issues that have come up, especially in this last year. But I think the other thing is that I've recognized that mental health is a lifelong thing. It's a daily thing. Like, we need to have tools and coping mechanisms to really deal with it. Like, it's a daily thing. It's not like I went through a hard time once and I'm never going to have to like maybe deal with this ever again. Like, for speaking, I guess, someone who struggles, I'm like, I feel like I kind of struggle a little bit every day to some extent with a part of my own kind of brain. And I need to have kind of constant support and guidance to really, if that makes sense. Like,
perfectly,
it's not something, sometimes we just want a quick fix.
Right.
To our problems. Right. It's like the fast food culture of whatever you want to call it, like the McDonald'sization of society or whatever.
Mental health. Get that Band-Aid. Get that Band-Aid.
So I definitely, it's a daily thing, and then having that compassion and I think people would really benefit a lot from, you know, I think the other thing is just having people in your life, like having community. I mean, we've kind of already talked about that a lot today, of like, you probably discover, it's like when you ask people kind of like, hey, do you have friends? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, who's in your life? Do you have people who enjoy you, who like you, who you can go and see a movie with, who you can go and just be yourself with? Like, is there someone you can call kind of any day, anytime, any day? Like, do you have those people in your life? And often, I mean, I've been in hospitals so much over the years. I'm like, most people don't have friends. Like, they're struggling and they really are alone. They're not like just saying they're alone. They're like, no, I'm actually alone. Like, and it's hard in life. It's like relationships are work, relationships are effort. You do got to open yourself up and be vulnerable, I think, to have a friendship with someone, right? You gotta be able to kind of be able to share of yourself. But anyway, that's my really long answer to your question.
Thank you so much. I love it. I have had such an amazing time having you. I feel like we could really talk all night.
I know.
And I really hope you felt comfortable here on Friday Night Feels, and I hope you come back. Of course, in the future, man.
I would love it, man. I would love it. And I'll have to have you back on the podcast. It'll be like 1 year later. We'll see.
Yeah. Oh my God. We're we can be maybe.
Hopefully a year from now, we won't be like COVID lockdown. We'll be like, vaccines.
Yeah. Maybe I'll come to California. I'd be like, I hear, cool place to be.
Yeah. New York City is top five best trips I've ever done for my job and just in life is going to New York City. I know where are you at exactly?
Northern New York, Plattsburgh.
Northern New York. Okay. Yep. Okay. Well, you've probably been to Times Square and all that stuff. So
There's great things through the whole state, man. I'll be your tour guide. I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, dude, if you're ever in Cali, man, I feel like even living here, there's like so much stuff I haven't done.
Right.
I'm like, well, I go to the beach and I've been to Disneyland a couple times. Although I guess they're saying Disneyland might open up April 1st.
Ooh.
Maybe. Fingers which crossed. Feels kind of scary because Disneyland is like the most crowded, congested place on the planet. So it's hard for me to think like all these people, even wearing masks, aren't gonna like sneeze on each other, and there's kids
wet and they gonna disinfect anyway. Well, here's hoping to good health and everything, and just for people to remind people, if they have a chance to check out Jared's podcast Louder Now, it's amazing, and he's doing revolutionary work to really normalize and advocate for people in the mental health field. So I really appreciate everything you're doing.
Dude, thank you for saying that. I really am honored to be here, and I really, same to you, man. Just keep doing this. You're making an impact too, and you are it's just, you're a man and you're talking about your struggles, and it's awesome. And so I know you do this by day, so you're surrounded by it. I don't think I could ever be a therapist, but so mad respect to you for that.
Thanks. I appreciate that. But hey, I'll be able to recommend your book to people, to clients. Yeah, I have the perfect book for you. So we'll be in tangent, we'll work
now together. There's a lot more accountability now. Someone commented and said, write the book.
You can't go back. No backsies.
Yeah, I gotta crack down and get this done, man. So
we believe in you.
It's spring break everywhere, but not for me. I'll be cracking on the book.
I want pages. I want to see product.
Okay, man. Okay.
All right. And everyone who's watching or listening, I hope you have a great weekend and stay safe. And we'll see you next time on Friday Night Feels.
All right. Thanks, Patrick.
All right. Take care, Jared.
Okay.